chains, we can see tanks and troops. The only way you could appreciate this is put yourself there, or someone you love. And that's difficult for some of you, because you don't know much about loving, I'm afraid. We are to spend 14 days here, in these padlock chains, getting only a quarter of a bowl of bean soup a day. Our particular group is made up of a people from different walks of life. There are about 100 students and teachers from the State University of Technology, porters from Las Vegas and the Central Market, officials from the Corfo. Corfo is the Corporation of Industrial Development. Herb sellers, textile workers, and the staff of Radio Recabarren, R-E-C-A-B-A-R-R-E-N. Professional doctors who stood up. Even small businessmen. Nobody counted. As long as the fascists wanted their goods, it made no difference who they were. We were all just working class people together. 2 days later, they gave us a blanket for every four persons. After another 3 days, we were given... We were given more blankets, holy and dirty, and we could dispense with sharing. A week later, they gave us mattresses, one mattress for six. Six people on them, one bed. And Red Cross packages containing a rose-colored towel, a cake of small soap, a small comb, a toothbrush. Now we look for more convenient places to settle down, dragging our few possessions with us on our backs. For the time being, they are not troubling us too much, and despite the order to get up at 6 in the morning, we are allowed to sleep through most of the day on mattresses thrown down in places where there is some shade. On rainy days, we get soaked to the skin, and our precious holy blankets become so soggy that it makes little difference whether the dirty water dripping from the stands overhead lands on us or on the dirty floor. In October, they allowed us to get food parcels from our wives and relatives. But after the routine security examination, half the food usually disappeared. Sometimes the food parcels never reached us at all. After some days, the students from the University of Technology established some kind of support, some kind of rapport and means of understanding with the crew of the machine gun at the top of the staircase. The young men had little difficulty in making conversation. The soldiers were new recruits rushed into Santiago from Antofagasta on September 11. They asked the students about the foreign troops. They had been told that they were going to fight regular Cuban and Soviet troops, and they had never encountered them before. The soldiers did not believe what the students told them. At any rate, they did not while they were in the stadium on guard duty. No doubt they questioned in their minds. In the weeks and months that followed, they would realize that they had been fooled into killing their own people. A large group of workers from the Madeco, M-A-D-E-C-O plant, were brought in at midnight, 80 of them, with the marks of beating still fresh on them, had been kept at the barracks of the El Bosque, E-L-B-O-S-Q-U-E, air base, shivering with cold and worn down by sleepless nights, so many sleepless nights. They were on their last legs. Happily they had some bread with them, which they had stuffed into their pockets. The metal workers from the Madeco plant, who had been accused of making armored cars, were put through the same tortures and humiliations as had been our lot. The rapings by male to male, shoving of clubs up their anuses. But the beatings failed to break their militant spirit, their longing to be active. "There's no order here," they commented when they had a look around, particularly when they start ladling out the cup of bean soup. You pounce on it like a crowd of hungry animals, with the result that some of you go hungry. "That's why you must be prepared in Jonestown for revolutionary death. Life should not be held on to at such a price," There should have been a resistance, a food strike, a hunger strike. The idea that people should become as animals and fight over a quarter of a cup of bean soup. It is ridiculous. There should be no fear of death here, and I am very impatient with you that still fear death, which is the last enemy that we have overcome in many white night. This should not be allowed to go on. Don't you see that the military pigs are only too delighted to see you behave like animals? This must be stopped. We agreed with the criticism and decided to do something about it. The 300 of us split into six rows of 50 each. When they brought in the bean soup, each row had to get their share by turns. Row number one followed by row number two and so on until row number six. The next day the order was reversed so that row number six was the first to get their meal. We also organized duty teams to sweep the rooms and to see to the plumbing in the dirty, filthy lavatories, the toilets. The older men and those suffering from colds and viruses and pneumonia were moved to warmer places away from droughts. We also assigned scouts whose job it was to see that during the daytime patrols, the soldiers did not notice those who were still asleep. We also deloused one of our comrades, Martinez, who was literally crawling with vermin from a spell in a police prison. They began to organize and look after each other instead of looking after their own bellies as some of you do when you have all you want to eat. You really make me nervous what you would do, the way you get at that food line. You really make us sick that are truly communist. We demanded the Red Cross personnel should cleanse and disinfect our sector. We were given a can full of milky emulsion and brushes with which we smeared each other with this emulsion from top to toe. The metal workers from the Medeco were arrested several days after the military takeover, the coup of September 11, when the daytime curfew was lifted, when La Junta announced a return to normal life in the country, if you could call it normal. They returned to their plant. For several days, nobody touched them. Then one morning, Air Force trucks and buses arrived at the plant. The workers were ordered to line up in the yard, just like a lot of workers in factories in USA, who think that they'll do fine just getting rid of blacks. And indeed, in Chile, they got rid of the blacks first, and the Jews. But finally, they came for all the people in the factory. Everybody went. The workers were ordered to line up in the yard, and a list of names were read out. Those of the list were taken to El Bosque Air Base for interrogation. Actually, there was no questioning or interrogation, and the workers were dealt with in the same way as the rest of the detainees, beaten and tortured like us here at the stadium. They were now awaiting a ruling on their case. One day, the metal workers suggested that we put on an amateur show. But the inmates of Sector 7 were outraged at the idea. They argued that amid so much suffering and misery, it was blasphemous indeed to even entertain any idea of a variety show of entertainment. For 9 days they had been beating us, they said. Chile had been betrayed. The popular unity government, a unity of socialists, progressives, and communists, the product of years of struggle by generations of freedom fighters, had been destroyed. The eyes of mourners for the dead were still wet from weeping. And here they were talking of a song and a dance. If this is not blasphemy, what the hell is it? There'll be no show. Finish. But it is essential, the workers insisted. Can't you see that your tears and complaints won't help you? The important thing now is to survive, and to survive, one must want to survive. Well, you see, they lack revolutionary awareness. You should want to survive. Your hate alone to get at your class enemies would be sufficient. You don't need entertainment. If we survive, we'll have a chance to win back what we have lost this time round. This is no time for songs, poetry readings, or jokes. Who knows, perhaps in the near future, we'll have this time and the inclination. We'll be tempted for this sort of thing, but not now. There's too much misery and suffering. Some of our children and wives are also under arrest now. Where are they? Nobody knows. All we know is how they are treating our wives. They torture them the same as us, and what is worse, they let the soldiers rape them over and again, and you want us to sing and dance? Not on your damn life. To come back to life, our wives need men who are strong in spirit. They need our support. But first of all, we've got to prove to ourselves that we are strong enough in body and spirit to overcome our present misfortune and to conquer the future. Right, Pianetta. Let's get started. Gonzalez, nicknamed Pianetta, a lanky lad with a fringe of black hair on his forehead, sang a few songs, supported by four other volunteers. Then he presented some amateur reciters and cracked jokes at which he and his friends laughed louder than anybody else. The amateur show lasted until 9 p.m. I can't relate to this at all. At all. Maybe some of you in Jonestown can. I can't relate to this at all. My hate and talk of hate and planning, conceptions to how to get at the enemies who were raping the women and little children being tortured would have been all that I needed to keep my will and kept it alive until I took some fascist bastards. The students and teachers from the University of Technology watched in silence. The rest of the audience whistled, hissed, and otherwise expressed their indignation and protest. The audience was divided into two camps, and each clung to its opinion. The duty teams, which on that day were responsible for keeping the place clean, acted as mediators, peacemakers, trying to get the opposing sides to settle their differences amicably. That amicably means peacefully. In the evening of the following day, the Madeca metal workers decided not to try to persuade anybody, but simply offered the rest of the detainees what they called a comedy show. Among the students who joined them were some amateur reciters and singers. About an hour later, Pianetta, P-E-I-N-E-T-A, who by now was hoarse from overstraining his vocal cord, assisted by his fellow nicknamed Chanfana, C-H-A-N-F-A-I-N-A, conducted a choir singing ditties which were later to become the hymn of the prisoners. The lyrics went as follows. Brother, listen to a song of joy, the joyous singing of those looking to the dawn of the next day. We listened with deep emotion as the singers went on. Stand by my side, sing, dream as you sing, live dreaming of the coming dawn. Relatives and friends, fallen comrades, we saw you lying in the mud in the streets. Anna, where are you now? You were arrested on the 11th of September. Have you managed to regain freedom? Or are you in prison like us and humiliated? My children, are you alive? Where are you, my son? On the 11th, you left for the city center. Were you caught in crossfire? Did you see the dead? Valia, my daughter, how are you now? Neither mother nor I came to school at midday on September 11 to collect you. Where did you go when the school was closed and your frightened schoolmates and teachers trooped out? Or did you stay on in the empty school? I dearly hope that you are alive and at liberty and that this horror is but a bad dream for you. Now that kind of inspiration I can relate to. When people are again brothers to one another, Pianetta, standing in the center of the circle, formed by link and raised arms, is conducting the choir with abandon. The students are singing. We join in. Before long, the whole of the sector is singing. When people are again brothers to one another, but I still say they should have been spending most of their time planning on how to get the bastards. Finally, in comes the military. Line up against the wall, you bastards. And I can see that advantage of singing. It does make those oppressors seem like they're not getting anywhere. We did not notice when the soldiers turned up in our sector. We realized that what had happened too late. It was too late when we realized when they showered us with blows and abuses, beating our balls in typical fashion, prodding us into the back with their rifles and bayonets. They drove us out into the football field and ordered us to run around the track, lap after lap, until our heads were spinning. They would allow us to slow down a bit, and then it was off again, lap after lap around the stadium. This went on for hours and hours and hours. After that, they let us return to our sector. The guards promised us a beating up should we try to organize a political demonstration again. The military was so threatened, they called singing a political demonstration. That's the ending of two chapters. More of Rolando Carrasco, C-A-R-R-A-S-C-O, Chile's prisoners of war, who is now with Radio Moscow as he was given refuge by the liberation vanguard of Marxist-Leninism, always the Soviet Union. He was finally negotiated his freedom and his family's after several years in the Chilean concentration camps. Remember, we're still in on discussion of only a few weeks of this barbaric torture carried on by USA direct aid to the Green Berets and CIA money. The next chapter that I will take up will be Chapter 7, Prelude in D-sharp. I will continue, hopefully, until this whole book has been read and digested. Perhaps it can be started from the beginning to give some of you the feeling of what is taking place at this moment in Chile. Some, for 5 years, have undergone the torture without complaint. I love you. Identify with the sufferings of our comrades, and know that life is meaningless, no more meaningful than a worm's existence, or one of these beetles that live only just 14 to 24 hours that you see flying around at this time of the year. Then there's no meaning outside of communism, but in communism there becomes revolutionary purpose. We identify with the pulse of the struggle, the heartbeat of those fighting the oppressors in Zimbabwe, in Zaire, in Mozambique, in Transkei today, that are strongly resisting the Union of South Africa, in Botswana, in Namibia, in Ethiopia, in Afghanistan that won its heroic revolution. Even the U.S. Air Force joined the communists after the communist leaders were killed. They joined the communists and have joined the brave Soviet liberators. Now they have surrounded entirely the renegade imperialist lackeys who run the policy of China. Yes, China is surrounded and isolated. It does threaten the balance of power, and it could bring a nuclear war, but so be the course of events. Finally, communism will win. Finally, the struggle of the working class masses will liberate oppressed people everywhere. And also, with the Afghanistan revolution, look on your map so you know it in detail. Now the Shah of Iran is completely surrounded, and some of those he's tortured have fled into Afghanistan and are being equipped with arms with the Afghanistan people and the Soviets, and they're invading his territory, and the Shah is nervous. He who has murdered hundreds of thousands and has hundreds of thousands in his jails where he tortured them with USA help. Now he's nervous as he's surrounded entirely by Soviet allies, the USSR, Iraq, Syria, and now Afghanistan. The pulse of revolution goes on. Thank you. I love you very much.